Stars of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
I know that we did not have, is he there?
Yeah, Darren.
Let me get Pastor William Rennick, ladies and gentlemen. I'm awfully sorry, but the pastor, we're going to get offline here. We've got a couple things we want to talk about. Pastor William Rennick joining us from Joyful Union Congregation this evening. And Pastor Rennick, I did not have plans originally to have you talking to Bob Green. We wanted to get to you. I hope you understand that, but we just didn't have time.
Look, Bill, I understand the fact that Bob Green not there, but I did not come on the program continuing to have any debate with Mr. Green. I came on the program, and I asked Mr. Dingman, I want to come on and I want to defend God. You see, I don't hear a very effective defense of God going on. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, I mean, I didn't think that we'd be getting into that kind of thing.
No, but this man, Bob Green, you got on, is a grocery clerk. See?
Well.
Hold on. Now, you understand, to my job, every day, every night, twice on Sunday, like I say, you know, my job is to bring to people the gospel of Jesus Christ. My job is to bring to people the belief in God. Now I hear a man come on your program, and he is given full reign, talk about it, no God, this little baby is smacking Anderson Cooper across the face.
I didn't hear, no, he didn't say that. He said the baby had the microphone.
Well, there's a little tiny baby by this godless woman. And a little tiny baby is grabbing a microphone out of a man's hand. She's trying to teach this baby to confuse and basically make Anderson Cooper look like, excuse me for saying this, like the gay that he is. And I say that, I'm not saying that to criticize.
Well, what does that mean? What does that mean?
I'm not saying to criticize, Phil. I'm saying try to make that man look weak. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, when I say the gay he is, I'm saying the stereotypical view of a gay man being a weakling. That baby that woman had trying to make him look bad, taking a microphone, slapping him, pushing him around. You got a little tiny baby.
Baby was not pushing him around. The baby simply would not give the microphone back.
Look, I don't want to argue with you. What I'm trying to say is I wanted to come on your program and at least be one voice in this night that I've been listening to so far, at least one voice in defense of God Almighty.
I'm happy that you're here to do that, Pastor Rennick. I just don't want you to characterize what has happened here over the last hour as anything less than what it was. We were listening to one man's opinion about this. He had admiration for this woman.
Well, you know, I will admit you one thing. If you want to tell me it takes guts to stand on national television and say, I don't believe in God just after your home got turned into garbage, I guess you can make a case to take guts. To me, my way of thinking, I think you're about the most ungrateful, stupid woman I've ever seen in my life. If my home turned into a pile of garbage, I don't care. I live in garbage because I got God.
That little tiny thing, I want to see.
Here's Claire.
Hi, Phil.
Hey, Ms. Bingham, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil. Now, William, you said that little baby was slapping a man on the face.
I saw him take Cooper Anderson, slap him across the face.
His name is Anderson Cooper.
Not that baby. Yeah, look, man, I'm going to kick him in the ball.
You know something?
Give me the microphone. I'm going to talk on a radio show.
I want to tell you, that baby never hurt no one, and you're making up things, and I want you to stop right now.
All right, I'll stop. The whole point I'm trying to... All right. Fine, Bob. I'm going to tell you right now. That Anderson Cooper come out there. He's trying to help those people. That baby is you know, all that baby talk. Like, goo, 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 ga, 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 ga. Take a microphone. Kid, if that baby tried to take a microphone from me, that's the last thing he's going to take from anybody.
And what you going to do to that child?
What's that?
What do you think you're going to do to that child?
I'm not going to do nothing, Clara. I'm not going to hurt the child. I'm just going to tell you. If I'm on television on the Cooper Anderson show...
His name is Anderson Cooper. Got him.
Don't ask me if I care. You know?
Yeah, but he'd call you.
Come on. If that baby... Hey, Phil, you there?
Yes, I am here.
All right. If that baby... And I'm trying to talk to Anderson Cooper on the TV. And I say, Anderson Cooper, you know, a tornado came in like a freight train, man. And I'm slaying. I'm laying on the couch. You know, I'm reading a sports page. When I got the TV, all of a sudden, I look out the window... And I'm going, what name of everything holy? And it's a tornado. And now, I'm saved. I'm going to say, thank you, God. you got. I ain't gonna come on TV and say I'm an atheist. Man, that takes a pair.
Oh, baby. Woo!
I got admiration for that woman for doing that.
But she was telling the truth.
What's that?
She was telling the truth.
All right, she's telling the truth. Now, I'm trying to get it said, because I'm going to get it said. I'm going to tell him, God Almighty saved me. Now you got some baby, and I'm trying to get my thing said, and I'm trying to say, and I'm trying to testify and witness to God Almighty. And what do I got to deal with? I got some kid, and he's doing the goo-goo guy. You know, remember the nephew?
I understand. William,
we got that little nephew. We just got a brand-new nephew. My younger brother, his wife just had a baby. And it's all goo-goo, da-da-da, you know, all that stuff. And I got a baby. I'm trying to say, God Almighty, save my life. You got a boo-boo, da-da-da. Man, I'll tell you, oh, God.
He said he's going to dropkick it.
Give me that.
What did he say?
He said he dropped it.
Give me that. I'm going to talk on the radio. I did not. I said I'd dropkick. How many times you seen a dropkick?
In the recent years, we've seen a few. You mean in the NFL?
No, in Jacks. Yes, in the NFL.
In recent years, we've seen a few.
All right, I didn't think anybody knew it. And let me tell you something. If I'm trying to testify to God Almighty and the existence of God Almighty, I don't care if I got a dropkick. Let me tell you what. I'll set fire to a home. I'll burn it to the ground. I'll go out and run over. It doesn't matter if I'm talking about God. If I got a dropkick a baby, and I would dropkick that baby, the baby's asking for it.
No baby asks for it. And for you to talk in an irresponsible way like this...
I'm not talking irresponsible. Phil, what I'm trying to say is, where is God at the moment when God ought to be put on a pedestal?
You know what, Pastor Renick? Sometimes it's just for people to witness in their own ways. You know, God isn't always going to get the headlines. He's not always going to be, oh, God. You know, sometimes it's just a subtle... Sometimes the world is full of non-believers, and things are happening, and things turn out good, and there's nobody there giving God credit. You're just going to have to give credit to God in your own way. He didn't get his TV time today. There was a lady there that was an atheist.
No, you got all the answers, don't you? You got all the answers. I love this man. You got all the answers, don't you? But you don't have the right answer.
Pastor.
No, you don't have the right answer. I'm going to tell you something. God, in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And they were out on a... I'm going to tell you something, Phil. Don't you interrupt me.
Go ahead.
And they were out on the Sea of Galilee. God had the 12 apostles out there. And they got a storm going, and they got a wind blowing. And all kinds of hell is breaking loose out there in the water. And the apostles are frightened to death. And the apostles say nothing. You better make something happen, man. Because I didn't leave my hometown. I didn't leave my job as a tax collector. I didn't leave my job as a fisherman. I didn't leave my job. All these heavy-hitter jobs these guys had, the 12 apostles, and they followed this man, Jesus Christ. He didn't have a pot to throw it out of. And all these men are following this man, Jesus. Now they're out on a boat. What are they doing out on a boat in that storm? Anybody know? They are sailing. They went out. They want to do with a sightseeing. I forget.
They were fishing.
No, they weren't fishing. What kind of fish are you going to catch?
They were out there on a boat.
Out there on a boat. Now, God's standing, and here's this storm. The 12 apostles look at Jesus, and they say, I want to tell you something right now, man. I came out here on the full faith of you as Jesus Christ, as the Son of God Almighty, okay? I came out here to be with you. Now, you better think of something fast. And I ain't kidding you, man. Have you ever seen the pictures? They're hanging on his robe. I'm surprised Jesus had anything left on the way they're all hanging on him. They would have ripped that robe right off of him. And he would have been taking a walk out on a lake out there, that Sea of Galilee, in the nude. And what kind of a painting would that make?
And okay, stop with the jokes, huh?
I'm not making a joke. They were hanging on him, Phil. They were hanging on Jesus. They're saying, you got to think of something, man. I come out here to go on a nice pleasure cruise with him, and we're going to die out here. And what'd Jesus do? Jesus said, let me tell you something. You cats got nothing to worry about. I'm going to show you something. Look at this. And he goes out and he walks down there. He was nude. I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. But he took a stroll out on that water. He's walking on the water.
That's what I'm saying.
What? You didn't say nothing like that.
I think Phil did. He said you just have to witness your own thing.
What are you talking about, Phil?
That's what I'm saying. You just have to wait, and you just got to chill, and you got to let it happen. In that instance, he walks on the water. Who knows what other things could have happened? And for you to get upset, if you're alive and everybody else is alive, and a lot of people died in those tornadoes, then that's the way it is. And you can testify and give God credit in your own way.
Yeah, and what about that baby trying to take a microphone and stick it? I tell you, if that had been Jesus Christ, that baby took the microphone away from Jesus. And Jesus, like, you know, I've been a good, you know, I don't know who this kid thinks he is.
So Jesus would have hurt the baby?
No, I didn't say that, but it's just, I don't know. Get off the phone, will you? Tell me to get off the phone.
All right, Pastor Renick, I got to take a break. I appreciate it. Pastor William Renick, I don't know what the hell he just said. I think he agreed with me. And what if Jesus walked on the water nude? We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah, we're talking to you.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Talk to me. Stop talking to you. Talk to me. Me. That's what you're talking.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What I was trying to do is getting over to our Facebook account, Phil Hendry Fans, because there was a fascinating story that occurred today that we were following, and we got it up on our Facebook page. And this is an interesting thing. What happened here, man? What happened here, bud?
I don't know.
Well, I can't see anything there, son. In any event... We have a camera out or something? A very, very interesting story about Zach Galifianakis, who is one of the stars of the Hangover franchise, as they call them. And I thought it was and everybody loved it. It was the most heartwarming thing that you could possibly imagine. And what it was essentially this. Due to the success of of his career in these Hangover films, he's got a little bit of money, he's got a little bit of pull. Now, when he was a young, struggling actor, back in the 90s, he would visit a laundromat, and he would get his clothes done in this laundromat. And there was a lady that worked in the laundromat, and if you're watching Phil TV in HD, there is the lady standing there right now, this elderly woman. She stands there at all of these dryers, and her name is Mimi Haste. She's 87 years of age. She used to volunteer in this Los Angeles laundromat, as she is seen in this picture. She got by on tips left for her by the patrons of the laundromat. Here is Zach Galifianakis, a young actor at the time, struggling, using the laundromat, giving her tips. Well, when he found success finally through the Hangover series, he had been a patron at this laundromat. He had met and befriended her in 1994, in fact, when he was still a struggling comic. With the success of the film, Zach's life changed drastically, and he had lost touch with Mimi. That is until 2 years ago when he learned that she had become homeless. And he went and he found her. And here she is in this picture. She's getting makeup. This could almost make you cry, man. And she's getting makeup put on. And he, after learning of her misfortune, he found her a one-bedroom apartment. Now listen to this, folks. Found her a one-bedroom apartment, which he pays the rent for. He also introduced her to Renee Zellweger, who furnished her apartment and buys her groceries. And she's getting ready for a big night out here in these photographs. She went with him to the premiere. She's gone to the last two premieres of the Hangover movies. And this is a picture here of her as she goes to the premiere. That is that's just a hell of a deal right there. Got her an apartment.
Well, I think it's great, Phil. I really do. It gets dulled a little bit.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
You know what I mean, bud? It got dulled.
In what way?
Well, Bud, you want to say it or I'll say it?
You go ahead. You go ahead.
Well,
all right, I'll do it.
Well, you said I was going to do it. Who's doing it?
You do it, Margaret.
I said I was going to do it.
She's going to do it. God, you guys.
Well, it got dulled a little bit, is what I mean.
Why did it get dulled?
excuse me, who's buying the groceries? Renee Zellweger. So in other words, he cheaped out at the last minute.
Yeah, so he browned out.
He browned out. Very good point. He browned out at the last minute.
Yeah, brown out. It's a full brown out.
What does brown out mean? You mean like the lights?
Yes, the lights dimmed. It wasn't a blackout. It wasn't a blackout. So there is still some integrity there, but the integrity has been dimmed to a brownout.
Yeah, it's like you might as well not even read.
Wait a minute. I don't see it that way at all.
Well, who's buying the... Oh, yeah, and by the way, Renee, would you buy the groceries because I'm too much of a cheap creep? What is that about?
I'm not going to have this man called a cheap creep. He's renting her apartment for her. He's paying her rent, you know. You know what I'm saying? Why are the three of you...
Yeah, then why ain't he better get a, gonna better get a, on, a, on a grocery instead of better the lady?
Bud, what language was that that you just spoke?
Yeah, you sound like a jackass, man.
I mean, what... Why's the lady got to buy it?
Because maybe she wants to. Maybe Renee Zellweger said, yeah, okay, I'll kick in. That sounds like a really cool thing you're doing. Let me help you out, you know? And he's like, well, no, you don't know what happened.
Well, I noticed her name got in the article. Do you suppose a publicist jammed it in there?
No, I don't. I'm not willing to think the worst of people like you, Margaret, okay?
How dare you? I have an interview scheduled with Ms. Zellweger.
And I hope that she doesn't... Oh.
What?
What?
So no wonder you're calling Mr. Zalif...
Oh, you can't even pronounce...
Alakazam.
Not Alak... Where do you get Alakazam?
Oh, I thought that was...
That's not his name. It's not Zach Alakazam. It's Zach Galifianakis, okay?
Yeah, well, now that you look.
Of course I looked. Somebody's got to.
Well, so you're saying... Oh, I see. You think that I'm being nice to her because I just... That's why I'm ripping him.
That's exactly what I think. You're ripping him and you're saying, oh, wow, why isn't he picking up the cost of the groceries so that when you interview her, you can bring that up and say, look what I did. I backed you up.
That is... I feel like slapping your face for that.
Go ahead.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you really did.
That's right. Where's the toilet paper, please? I've got to use the can because I got to pinch one off.
Fine. Hey, Margaret's got to pinch one off.
I don't feel guilty for slapping you, Phil. Well?
What do you need?
I said I need toilet paper.
Bet you're going to pinch one off.
Don't you say it. I'll say it.
You know, what is a healthy number of bowel movements per day?
What do you mean?
Because Margaret is like... She's... No.
Were you going to say I saved mine up? Maybe I do.
Would you just close the door, please? So anyway, I think that's a fantastic story. There it is. You can read about it wherever fine cosmetics are sold. No, you can read about it just about anywhere. As he takes this gal to the premiere, that's fantastic. She was homeless, 87 years old. Boy, you don't want that to happen. How the hell does that happen in life? How do people lose connection to the things they know when you're 87 and you're living on tips and you're almost homeless? What happens? You know, to a person's life.
Well, you're looking all nervous and stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm 60 now, you know.
Yeah, but that's going to happen to you, Mr. Henry. You got a successful career and everything like that.
Yeah, but you never know what happens. You know, I think what happens is some people get sick. You know, you break a leg or maybe something worse, and you're bedridden, and you lose your job or something, and you use up all of your insurance. Next thing you know, you got no support, no nothing. You think that's what happens?
What are you all worried about it for? It's not going to happen to you.
You never know. Someday, Robert and Bud, I want you to promise me something, okay? Someday, if you're walking down the street and you see a poor old creep, and it's me, and I got a tin cup, take me out to the ocean, drop me off the edge of the pier, and let me drown.
No way, man. I'm going to go outside for a murder rap.
That's murder. Cold-blooded murder.
I don't give a damn. I'm asking you to swear a blood oath that you drop me off the end of a pier.
But what happened? You're going to get arrested.
I'll write something. Dear sir, to whom it may concern, okay?
But...
Hold on. To whom it may concern...
Excuse me, I'm gonna flush. I want in on this.
To whom it may concern, I give permission to Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard that if I'm an old man, infirmed and living on the streets, and they find me as such, they're allowed to drop me off the edge of a pier... And watch me drown, okay? Now that's...
Hold on. Now, what is this?
Oh, we got to take a break. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on Phil TV and HD. Right now, we're looking at the 1968 Doors concert from the Hollywood Bowl. And I should have brought this up yesterday, and I didn't. I brought it up during our pre-show. I talked to our BSPs. I went to that show. I was 15 years old when I attended that concert. And as I remember, it was we went with a couple of girls. One of them was the sister of a buddy of mine. There was a lot of us there. I mean, probably about 8 or 9, maybe 10 people there. And went to this concert at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles because we were high school students. And at the time, the Doors were one of the biggest bands in the world. And they had just come out with Strange Days, which was their second album. They had not yet come out with their third. So they were still kind of, they were in a period of they were in their real ascent. And Dan just told me, he says, did you ever tell the story? I told it on the air. I told it on the pre-show. I never told the audience out there.
Well, what part of the story is the most exciting for you of the door of the door?
Yeah.
Not the door, the Doors.
Well, okay.
It's the Doors. We don't have to argue about that, do we?
No, not necessarily, but
I think the thing that struck me the most was, first of all, I said that, and I think people should know this. The concert was, there were three bands that night. Steppenwolf opened, Chambers Brothers played second, and the Doors were the headlining band. And they had on stage these Marshall amps stacked that apparently they had set some kind of a record for the most amps on stage that night. The Rolling Stones, I think, had the previous record, and the Doors beat it. But before the Doors came out, came Steppenwolf. The PA that Steppenwolf was working with that night just started cutting out. It's the same PA everybody was working with, I guess. But it was, I don't know, did they have a PA? Somehow the audio was cutting in and out. The Chambers Brothers came on second, and as I've said many, 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 many times, and I'll continue to say, the Chambers Brothers almost stole a show. That's how good they were. And then came the Doors, and the Doors almost knew that they had to get the audience back because the crowd was just absolutely on its feet for the Chambers Brothers. If you don't know the Chambers Brothers, they're pretty much forgotten today, which is kind of an interesting thing. At the time, they had one of the biggest hits on the radio, and that was a song called Time Has Come Today. So this 11-minute song that got hacked down to about, 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes. And then came the Doors, and the Doors knew they had to get the crowd back. And the first song they did, I can tell you right now, is a song called 20th Century Fox. Morrison came leaping out onto the stage, and the show was on. And as a band, in those days, there wasn't a better American band in terms of musicianship than the Doors. There were blues bands like, for instance, the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. There were groups, but in rock and roll, this group probably was the best American band because the British had come over a few years before and were blowing everybody's socks off. They had just one band after the next, and everybody in these groups could play and play really well. And America had what? We had the Beach Boys. That was about it. So along come the Doors, and there were other bands before that, the San Francisco bands, but the Doors, I think, came along and showed what really good musicianship was. And as I said, Morrison said later in a few interviews, he said, we have the best band in America. This is our band. He says, I'm proud of our band because we play better than anybody. So that night we were at the Hollywood Bowl. We watched Steppenwolf with their PA, and I loved Steppenwolf, still do, but it was not a good night for them. But then came the Chambers Brothers that were so good that the Doors had to really fight to get the crowd back, and they did. And then came this amazing Doors set, and one of the things that happened that night, if you know the Hollywood Bowl, you know that it's a steep incline of seats from the stage. In front of the stage is a pond or some kind of feature, water feature. I don't even know. I've never sat that close, but I think it's a pond. And then comes the stage, and then comes that acoustic shell, if you will, behind the stage. There's a wall that runs along from the audience's point of view, along the right side of that that large shell, that ambient background. And a guy hopped over that wall. He crawled over that wall stark naked and walked out onto the stage. And I can't remember whether he sat down or just stood there. I think he stood there with his arms behind his back. And was nude, you know. And I remember Morrison walking over and shaking the guy's hand. Like, it's very nice to meet you. Good of you to show up for the show. And that was that, as they continued the act. And eventually came, you know, security to get him off. The other thing that happened that night that I remember from Morrison's, you know, from him on stage, and you're always, he's an interesting and very compelling guy. And Jim Morrison's done some crazy stuff on stage, there's no question. He didn't do much of anything too nuts that night. But I remember the lights came up at one point during the show. And nobody knew why, but the lights were up. And they had finished one song, and Morrison went to the microphone. And he says, "Hey, man, you going to turn down the lights?"
That's how, is that how he talked?
Yeah, Jim Morrison was like, you know, he had a great voice, and he had that very low, "Hey, do you want to turn the light, you know, do you want to turn the lights off, man? Hey, man." And the lights stayed on. And it was only later that I began to think about it, because I never really heard. They were obviously arresting somebody, or they were getting somebody out of the crowd.
Why do you think they're arresting?
Because you're going to turn the lights on in a concert, that better be for a damn good reason. It had to be because there was somebody being arrested or rousted.
What is he? He looks like he's taking a bowel movement thing.
No, Margaret.
Well, I know he's not.
Morrison, in this film clip that we're watching from the Hollywood Bowl, was squatting on the stage. Bowel movement.
That's what it looked like.
In any event, he says, "Hey, man, you want to turn the lights off? Hey, man, you want to turn off the GD light?" So he did that real screaming Morrison thing, turn off the GD lights. And
did they?
No. They did eventually. But he was, I think, speaking on behalf of the crowd that night. So it was a hell of a night. It was a lot of fun. It was musically, it was a tremendous night, and the band was on. One of the things that I also mentioned last night was Ray Manzarek passing on. You think about the keyboards, and he played something that was called a Continental Vox, I believe that's the name of it, Vox Continental organ. On record, it sounds fantastic. In the recording studio, they made it sound great. Live, I never liked it. And that night that we were watching the band there at the Hollywood Bowl, it sounds like a little toy organ. It doesn't sound good. It's just this, you know. It just
what does it sound like?
It's like dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
Well, that doesn't even sound like a keyboard.
It sounds like a man doing a keyboard. Is that what you're saying? It sounded like?
No, I'm not saying it sounds like a man. I'm saying it sounds like a keyboard.
Well, that's what you just did.
Did I really? Maybe I was doing it to illustrate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Phil.
That's right. They had a keyboard that sounded like a guy going dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
That would be kind of cool, though.
In any event, it sounded like a little toy organ. I never thought it sounded good live. And but nonetheless, it was one hell of a show. And I recall getting out of there, you know, it was a massive, massive exodus of people, and the Hollywood Bowl has stacked in parking, meaning, it, you know, that people can park behind you, and you literally have to wait for people to see the guy right there in the clip. That was me.
No, it wasn't.
I know, I'm just kidding. I'll tell you one other thing about that show that night. I had brought a camera with me. I had brought a little Brownie 8 film camera.
Your kid, where's the footage?
Lost.
What? You gotta be out of your mind to lose that.
I did. It's lost. It's gone. I don't know where it is. I looked for it for years, man. I looked for it for years. I will say this. I didn't know anything about using a film camera back then. It was a film camera. It was 8mm, Brownie 8mm film, very small. It was the common film stuff that was used by the home-use camera people in those days. I had this little camera that was given to me by my father for, I think, Christmas or my birthday, and I brought it with me, and I filmed as much of this concert as I could. But I will tell you this. I didn't know a damn thing about filming anything, and it was it's very likely that it was just too dark.
Did you have any kind of zoom lens? Did you have a magnifying lens? Was there at any point that you think you got Morrison? Did you get him? I'll ask you this. Do you remember the squat?
The what?
The squat. Did you get that?
Margaret, if he squatted on stage, I don't know whether I got it or not.
Yeah, do you remember it?
No, I don't remember it.
But the chances are I didn't get it.
You didn't even get that.
That's right, Margaret. I didn't get the high point of the night for you, a guy squatting.
How dare you? I simply wanted to know if you got one of the more unusual. Never mind.
Yeah, just let me handle it. No, I didn't get any of it. And I can tell you that it was most likely that I didn't really film it properly because it was a dark, you know, it's outdoors, it's dark. The only thing that you can see is the stage. But the answer to the question is no. I couldn't find it. I don't know what the hell happened to it. I was 15 years old. So what do you think is going on with a 15-year-old guy who's going, who's the camera? I had my head up my ass half the time there anyway, you know.
Who did you go to? Did you go with this, the young lady that you dated in those days who was the niece of the famous film star?
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Well, what's your problem, Phil?
Yeah, anybody want to know about it?
Wait a second. I don't want people thinking I'm going out with the niece of a film star. I went out with a girl whose uncle was Lon Chaney Jr., okay?
Oh, man, that must have been bad.
Why do you say that?
Lon Chaney, the guy was a wolf. Played on the Wolfman.
Well, what, do you think she looked like the Wolfman? That's makeup, you jackass.
Yeah, but still.
No, she was a cute girl. She was a little blonde chick, lived in Arcadia, went to high school with her, and her uncle was Lon Chaney Jr. Okay?
I'll bet you took no end of grief. If somebody said to me, if I was a boy, which I'm not, thank God, and I said, oh, I'm going out with Lon Chaney Jr.'s niece, I'll bet you they said, oh, God, Lord. How do you do that, Robert?
Lord, Lord.
Yeah, thank you for your John Huston impression. No, she's a nice girl. We had a lot of fun, and I was there with my buddy Don, and who I am the godfather of his son now. In fact, Joe, I saw you post it on Facebook yesterday when the news about Ray Manzarek hit, and I saw Joe post, because Joe is a recording engineer, Don's son, and I'm sure your dad has told you about the concert. All right, we do have to take a break.
Well, what about Lon Chaney?
What about him?
You went to the show with Lon Chaney. No.
Go to the show with Lon Chaney. I went with his knee. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is
yeah,
our
but Lon
bitch.
Chaney was gone.
The Phil Hendry Show.
What are you talking about, man?
Nothing. Never mind.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know why I'm going to be sadistic here, but as long as we're playing things from video, it was a story that I wanted to get to last night. I'm sure by now you've heard there was a national anthem sung in the NHL.
Here's the play of the day.
No time. Let's see. Get right to it. Now, we have seen some anthems gone
all right. So this is the Good Morning America crew, and they're going to talk about this poor lady. I say poor lady because you know she didn't go out there to sing it bad.
Well, you don't know that.
Yes, I do know that. I feel very confident in saying that. She forgot the words. Anybody remember Robert Goulet when he did the national anthem for the Muhammad Margaret?
Well, I know Frank remembers that.
And I seem to recall, I was in high school, Robert Goulet was a singer, a big singer and a popular singer at the time. And he sang the national anthem. Here, let's just listen.
Anthem's gone wrong over the years. Alexis Norman in Canada can be forgiven, and this ends well, I promise.
I realize what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last first gleaming. Whatsoever we say.
Oh, she doesn't know the words.
Come on now.
Oh,
out, folks.
Gave proof through the night. The man was still there.
It's not her anthem in her defense.
Mr. News Announcer. Bull crap. If you're going to go out and don't you think you learn the song first? Not her anthem in her defense.
Well, he was making the point, Phil.
Wait. If you do a public performance of something, don't you rehearse it?
I would rehearse depending on... It was the national anthem. Big deal.
Oh, what do you mean, big deal? That's the anthem of America.
This jingoism.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah. What if it was the... Can you sing... I can sing O Canada.
So? I don't give a damn if you can sing O Canada. Can you sing the national anthem of America?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early do-do-do-do-do? Yes, I know it fine.
Oh, okay. Do-do-do-do.
Oh, Canada... Our home and native land. I know it.
Yeah. Don't give me this bull crap. Good morning, America. You guys ought to have your license revoked for being good morning anything, okay? There ain't nothing good about you. You ought to have the hair on your chest revoked for your manhood. Are you kidding me? Oh, well, in her defense. Yeah, that you should have... I'm telling you, that was a very uncourageous stance to take as journalists.
Yeah, but man, it'd make them look bad if they start ripping on people.
Yeah, you pile them on.
Wait. Why? Why would that make them look bad? Why would the audience is sitting there in the morning watching TV, okay? I don't give a damn if the crowd is behind her, isn't behind her. She's singing the national anthem. Don't you think that she would learn the song before she got her fat ass out there to sing it?
Fat ass. Look at you. Now you turn it into a sexist assault on a very pretty girl.
That's fine. Don't you think she'd rehearse?
Phil.
Wouldn't she rehearse?
If you're doing the national anthem, no, because you're assuming... Okay.
Well...
Hold on, I'm not done yet. You're assuming... All right?
Yes.
That...
He always does this.
Would you shut him up? Shut it up.
Bud.
Now I have to start all over again.
Yeah, you're just buying time.
Please.
Bud.
You're assuming that the woman goes out and sings the national anthem. Okay. Does she know the words? No, she doesn't. Should she have rehearsed? You're kidding, right?
No. Why am I kidding?
Where's she going to rehearse?
How about in her house? How about if she just reads the lyrics a few times to get them down? How about that? How about if she listens to a record of it? You got to be kidding me. And these guys are sitting there giving her a pass? I'm not. I don't give a damn if it makes me sound like a jackball. Do you remember the time the Marines came out with the Canadian flag upside down? You don't remember that, do you? The Marines, the color guard, the honor guard of the United States Marine Corps came out, I think it was opening day one of the baseball seasons, Toronto Blue Jays, and they came out and the flag was upside down. They were mortified. They were at, and they asked, the Marine Corps asked the Canadian, I think they asked the team, they said, would you give us the honor? This is how they put it. We're very sorry. We're so sorry. Would you please allow us the honor of carrying the flag out again in tomorrow's game? And they did. And the Marines got it right, obviously, because it's the... And it came off very, very well. And it, the Marines came off looking good. The Canadians were angry. I don't blame them, you know?
Well, the Marine Corps, Phil, should get it right.
Anybody that is going to do an anthem or carry a flag, everybody should get it right. Yeah, the Marine Corps especially. But they messed up for however, whoever. Maybe it was the guy was nervous. Who the hell knows? But they said, please allow us. We're very sorry. They apologized. And they said, we'd like the honor of carrying your flag. If you'll give us that chance, we'd like to do it again tomorrow night. And they said, yes, of course. And they came out and they did it. And it was a wonderful gesture by the Marines saying, essentially, we really did you wrong and we want to do this the right way. So I think this lady that sang the song, I don't think you give her a pass if she'd like to try it again. She can't memorize the words to a song, the national anthem of her country? Come on.
That's not her country, though.
Yes, you're missing it. It's not her country. Go ahead, Phil. Sing the anthem to, I don't know, give a country. Sing the anthem to the to Buddha.
What?
Is there a country called Buddha?
I don't think so.
No, there isn't a country called Buddha.
See, you don't know it, though. And that's my point.
Don't be stupid.
Don't call me stupid, Phil. Don't ever do that. Don't get between a dog and its meat, Phil. Do you know the lyrics to the Chinese? I do. Chong Chow Ching Chow. If I did that, people would say, isn't Margaret amazing? She knows the lyrics to the Chinese national anthem. Well, of course I don't. I'm going Ching Chow Ching, Chong Chong Ching, and people will go, oh, God.
What about the Chinese? Will they think it's fantastic?
They're not going to be there. Well, they would be there.
If you're playing the Chinese national anthem, there's a good chance there's some Chinese around.
Oh, is that right? You know everything, don't you?
No, I just know about national anthems. And we'll be right back, folks. Phil Hendry Show. Chung Chow Ching.
Chung Chow and Ching. Ching Chow, Chung Ching Chow. That's the Chinese-Canadian national anthem. Chung Chow.
Ow!
I'm sorry.
Phil Hendry.